This week's Sedra is Parshas Va'era, the second in the book of Shemos. In this week's Parsha, we learn of the Parsha begins with Arba L'Shonas Gula / Chamisha L'Shonas Gula. It says, V'Yitzad V'Da'at V'Akachti Atamali V'Yveshche Asem Al Aretz. We also have the first of the Makos, the first seven Makos in this week's Parsha, Dam Tzvardeya Kinim Erev Devrishkin Barat. So God begins to unleash his wrath against Pharaoh, Paro Melech Mitzrayim, the land of Egypt, and the Egyptians in the passageway through which the Jews will be freed. I want to talk about the Makkah of Dever, the fourth Makkah. Vayom Hashem, I'm in Perek Tes, sorry, the beginning of Perek Tes. Vayom Hashem, Amol Shabbo, Paro V'dibarti Eilav, Kol Amar Hashem Alkei, V'im Shlach HaSami Ve'ya Avduni. And Hashem said to Moshe, come to Paro and speak to him. So says Hashem, the God of the Hebrews, send my nation forth and they will worship me. And what will happen if you refuse to send my nation and you still strengthen against them, meaning you hold on to them tightly, you refuse to let them go. Hine yad Hashem hayu b'miknecha, asher b'sada, b'susi, b'chamorim, b'gmalim, b'bakar, b'tzon, dever kaved ma'or. Behold, the hand of Hashem will be upon your livestock in the field, against your horses and your donkeys and the camels, the cows, the sheep, a very severe plague. By the way, Rabbi Pesach Klum points out that this word here in Perek Tes Pasuk Gimel, Hine Yad Hashem Hayo B'miknecha Heivav Yodhei, is the only time this word appears in Chumash. Just a very interesting fact. Pasuk Dalet, V'hifla Hashem B'miknei Yisrael Ben Miknei Mitzrayim V'lo Yamus Mikol V'nei Yisrael Davar. And Hashem will distinguish, he will make a separation between the cattle of the Israelites and the cattle of the Egyptian, and not one animal from the B'nei Yisrael will die of Dever. V'yasem Hashem Moed Amor, Hashem made an appointed time tomorrow, saying tomorrow Hashem will do like this matter in the whole land. And Hashem did like this matter the next day. Vayamas kol miknei Mitzrayim, and all the livestock of the Egyptians died, umimiknei b'nei Yisrael, umisachad, from the livestock of the b'nei Yisrael, not one died. Perek Tes Pasuk Zayin, Vayishlach Paro, v'hinei le'umis, umimiknei Yisrael. Paro sent forth, presumably messengers, he sent forth to find out what happened, and behold, not one animal from the Israelites died. Vayichbad leiv Paro, v'lo shilach esa'am. But Paro's heart was hardened, and he did not let the people go. I quote from Rabbi Yisachar Fran in his Sefer, The Power of Avart. He says, nowadays there is a somewhat new subset of public relations. It is called damage control or disaster control. Certain PR firms now claim to specialize in limiting the damage a scandal will inflict, either on an individual or a corporation, for a fee. They will guide the offending party through the mess and help them live to see another day. However, like we know, everything is in Torah, hafuch ba va fuch ba dekula ba. Turn the Torah over and over because everything is in it. The concept of damage control is not new. It is actually something that dates back millennia. After watching his country going to ruin from four devastating plagues, Dam Tzvardeya Kinim Orov, Paro receives another visit from Moshe Rabbeinu, who delivers another ultimatum. Let the Jewish people go, or Hashem will smite the country with Dever, pestilence. I think I said before Dever is the fourth plague. I made a mistake, it's the fifth. Dam Tzvardeya Kinim Erev Dever. Okay, if I said fourth, which I think I did, I'm correcting myself. Dever is the fifth plague. Moshe elaborates that this would not affect everyone in Egypt equally. Only Egyptian-owned livestock that would be left outdoors would die. All livestock belong to the Israelites would live. Of course, Pharaoh ignores the warning, and after the plague hits, he investigates. He finds out, you know what? It played out exactly the way Moshe Rabbeinu predicted. Not a single animal belonging to the Jews had died during the plague. Remember, we saw Perek Tes Pasuk Zayin. Vayishlach Paro, v'hine lo meis mimiknei Yisrael ad echad. Vayichbad leiv Paro, v'lo shilach asam. You would think, says Rabbi Fran, that this would be enough to convince Paro to let the Jewish people go. But even having been forewarned with the exact detail of the Makkah, it doesn't help. It does not deter Paro. As the Torah states, and Paro's heart became stubborn. He did not send the people. Now, Rabbi Fran says, had all the livestock in the country died, perhaps we can understand Paro might rationalize. There must be a plague. It hit the whole country. It was a lucky guess on Moses' part to predict the day it would happen. Then you could perhaps write it off to chance. But he just saw Hashem differentiated between animals, camels, goats, horses, sheep belonging to the Egyptians and those belonging to the Jews. Should Paro not have realized that he should let the Jewish people go? How could he ignore this obvious danger to himself and his country? Rabbi Fran quotes Rav Simcha Zissel Brody, who explains, Paro reacts exactly the opposite of how an ordinary person would handle such a situation. Had all the cattle in Egypt died, Pharaoh would have been a little nervous. He wouldn't have had access to animals when he needed them. Now that he saw the Jews in his country still livestock, he said, you know what? He consoled himself. Nu-nu. That's what Robert Fan writes. Nu-nu, says Pharaoh. I'll just use their animals. What's the pshat? Rav Simcha Zisu Brody is teaching us that a wicked person does not get the messages Hashem sends, no matter how clear the messages are. As long as he feels he still has some wiggle room in life, he won't change his approach to life. Says my friend, it struck me that Devar is not the first time Pharaoh displayed such careless disregard for his own well-being. Earlier in the parasha, by the second makah, tzvardeya, frogs, the Torah states, Perachas Pasuk Aleph, Vayar Paro ki haisa harvacha, v'ach beides libo v'lo shamayelem kasher liber Hashem. Paro saw there was some relief. He kept his heart stubborn. He did not listen, as Hashem had spoken. What kind of harvacha, relief, was there after the frogs? The simple interpretation is the country had a reprieve. First there were frogs, and croaking, and jumping, and slimy, and invading frogs, and now there are no frogs. Therefore, vayar par ki haisa harvacha, par saw there was relief. Excuse me. However, Rabbi Fan quotes the Kli Yakar. The Kli Yakar points out we do not find this expression, vayar par ki haisa harvacha, par saw there was relief, in regard to any other plague. Only in regard to Tzvardeya. The Kli Yakar explains when every other plague ended, the problem it presented was solved. The wild animals went back to where they came from. The river went back to water. The kinim went back to sand. The one makkah that continued to plague the Egyptians when it was over was Tzvardeya. Why? Because Rashi tells us in Chumash, even after it ended, they had to deal with mountains and mountains, piles and piles of dead, decomposing frogs. If that's the case, then how could the Pasuk say, Vayar par ki haisa harvacha? Paro saw there was relief. What relief was there? There's mounds and mounds of dead frogs all over Egypt. It stinks, they're rotting, they're flies, they smell, there's no room to put them in the garbage. What kind of relief? The Kli Yakar explains, harvacha means not only relief, it also means space, like wide open spaces. No problem, Paro said. We have mounds of frogs. Egypt is a huge country. We'll just escape the stench by moving to areas where there are no dead frogs. No problem. All of the Egyptian cattle died, and none of the Israelite cattle died. It has nothing to do with what Moshe predicted. I'll just take the Israelite cattle when I need sheep. As crazy as it sounds to merely escape the immediate problem instead of facing the root cause for all the plagues, this is a big Musar Haskel for us. Says Rabbi Fan, how many people go through life this way? Hashem sends us sign after sign. And as long as we can do something to wiggle out of the mess we find ourselves in, we continue on with life, never changing, never improving, never taking steps to become better. Rather than trying to understand the broader implications of what's going on inside their lives, we focus our attention on one single point. How can we do damage to control to get out of this mess? We'll just move to a place where there's no frogs, instead of saying, why are all these frogs here in the first place? I'll just take the animals of the Israelites when I need animals, instead of saying, why did all my animals just die? Hashem sends sign after sign, quote, as long as there's something to wiggle out of the mess we find ourselves in, we just continue on with life. There's a story, mashal, told over. It's not like an ancient mashal, because that's to do with a person driving a car and looking for a parking spot. But the point is, I think the same as what Rabbi Fan is speaking about. There's a person who's doing errands on Erev Shabbos, and it's the busiest parking lot in the center of town. And he needs to get a few groceries, and there's no parking. Or she needs to get a few groceries, whatever, there's no parking. And as they're driving down, they say, Hashem, please, if you help me find a parking spot on this parking lot, I will donate $10 to Tzedakah, no parking spot. $50 to Tzedakah, no parking spot. I'll invite Orchim for tonight's meal. I'll buy Ne'ila on Psicha and Yom Kippur. I'll send money to this one and that one. I'll learn more Torah. I'll say an extra kapitel to him. They find a parking spot. And they say, never mind, God, a spot just opened up. Forget it. Do we recognize Ribbono Shel Olam in our lives, even if I didn't tell it over so well? That's how it goes. Do we recognize Ribbono Shel Olam on all the signs in life, or do we see Vayar Par Ki Haisa Harvacha? You know, there's a little relief. What do you mean relief? There's more space. I can just move over. I don't have to deal with the problem. I don't have to actually change myself. I don't have to hear the voice of God in my life. The Sforno points out, going to Rabbi Fan, that the first person who exhibited this attitude towards life was actually Esav HaRasha. When he came home exhausted and starving after a day of killing and sinning, He asks Yaakov to give him some of the lentil stew. Yaakov answers, Toldos, Chav Hei Lamed Aleph, Michra Chayom Es Bechores Chali. Sell as this day your birthright to me. Why does it say sell to me like this day your birthright? You don't need that word. Just say Michra Es Bechores Chali. What is like this day or as this day? The Sfarno explains that Yaakov is telling Esav, you are a person who only cares about today. You live in the here and now. Esav's philosophy in life was eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you die. That philosophy carries on to every wicked person throughout the ages, who even when faced with an obvious sign from Hashem that they must repent, will only think about damage control, rather than looking for the inner strength to grow and improve. The Sefer Bavavi Mishkan Evna teaches, inside every person is every biblical personality. That means there's a power inside of each one of us. Rabbi Franz is not teaching this, quoting with Simcha Zisa Brody, to tell us what someone else needs to do to improve. Rabbi Franz is quoting this to tell us that there's a power inside all of us. And when the Ribbono Shel Olam is clearly speaking to us, do we find wiggle room? Do we find a way out? Do we find a different part of the country where we can move away from the frogs? Do we say, oh, that's okay, the Israelite sheep didn't die, I'll just take those sheep? Do we find a way out to damage control, to continue living the way we want to live? Or do we hear the voice of the Ribbono Shel Olam loud and clear in our lives? I am talking to myself, and it's a very, very big muster and a very, very big lesson. And if there is a power inside each one of us, this is something we must ask ourselves and we must keep in mind. And unlike Paro and the person looking for the parking spot, we must always be open to the call of God as he comes to us in our lives, and not only to heed the call, but to answer and do it as required of us. Is faithful of day Hashem. I wish everybody a beautiful day. Kol tov b'ezer Hashem, Shabbat Shalom. And may we always share besuras tovas for all. Thank you so much.